So sorry, everyone. We just were getting booted out by Zoom. So, I think the system should be stable now. So, welcome everyone. Welcome everyone. Welcome everyone to this session. Cindy's here. Welcome to Cindy's session. The time right now is 2:20. We're just gonna give it a little few more seconds, maybe 1 or 2 minutes, and then we can get started. More people are joining us, so I'll give them a few more minutes to join, maybe 1 or 2. Hello, Cindy. Oh, okay, David, thanks for that. Okay, I'm just admitting more people in. So right now we are on 18 participants here. Okay, so 17 plus our resource person. Okay, it's 2:22 right now. So I think we should just get to it while others join us. Cindy, are you there? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Am I able to bring up a PowerPoint?
You should be. Let's see if I can make you a co-host. Okay, just a minute. Keeps changing. Make you a co-host. Okay, so I made you a co-host, Cindy, so you can share PowerPoints.
Okay.
Awesome. So let's get at it. I will first introduce you, and then we can go from there. Thank you so much, Cindy, for being a part of this Professional Learning Day event at Northern College. Cindy will be presenting a workshop on creating culturally safe spaces within the college classroom. Cindy is a professor at Canada College, North Bay, Ontario. Also works as an education consultant at the Bear Island Education Authority School Board Chairperson. Cindy has worked in the field of education for the past 30 years as an early childhood educator, school teacher, principal stroke education director and program planner, researcher and college coordinator and professor. Cindy's education includes an early childhood education diploma, a Bachelor of Social Work, a Bachelor of Education and Masters of Education degree specializing in educational leadership. Cindy is Ojibwe Anishinaabe from Temegami First Nation, many deep water people, indigenous worldviews, teaches Anishinaabe values and culture is embedded in all the work she does. Cindy's overall professional goals are to help Anishinaabe students be successful in higher education, and to live a good life. Mino Brimazinwi, as well as teach mainstream Canadians about the wonderments of the indigenous culture. Cindy spends much of her time fishing in the summer and winters, a great love of the place she lives, Bear Island, Mokwa, Minisi, enjoying the medicine of the lake and beauty of the land. Please pardon me if I pronounce any words wrongly. Thank you.
You did very good. It got you speaking Ojibwe already. That's good. Jimmy Gwetz for that great info.
It's my pleasure and my honor to welcome you. Thank you.
Miigwech. I think there's some in the waiting room.
I'm admitting them right now.
Okay. So I'm just going to start my session this morning with a smudge using one of the four of the traditional medicines. I'm using sage this morning. The four traditional medicines are sage, sweet grass, tobacco, and cedar. I use sage. It's a woman's medicine, and it's meant to cleanse and bring about positive energy in my space today, in my home. I smudge myself and my home once in a while. So I'm just going to start with smudging myself. When you smudge yourself, you smudge your eyes so you can see good things. You smudge your mouth so good things always come out of your mouth. And then your heart. So this is... this creates right off the bat a very positive space. So we do this a lot prior to meetings, and we do say a Thanksgiving when we get together. So I'm going to start with the Thanksgiving. I'm honored to be here and share the very little bit I know. The more I learn, the less I know. So I will start with that Thanksgiving. Chumigwet Shem Nado. Kinegego em nejon chumigwech gigizas, gizas ki binabed. Chumigwech shem nado, isa bimadzimwin, widokushna janamayan guayache bosaya. Ani kwe kwe, Cindy Herdish nakaz, makwa minising nindunjaba. I'm from beautiful Lake Tomogamy. My spirit name is Bibama Sheik, and that is more of a verb. Spirit name, if you can picture a dragonfly skimming the water with its feet, that's meant to sort of capture what my spirit name is. So today I'm going to be talking to you about creating a culturally safe space in the college, creating inclusion. Of course, that's important for all students. But being of an Anishinaabe Ojibwe ancestry, I'm going to be speaking about the Indigenous students in your classroom and helping them with inclusion. And I think, every college student next week will be like a deer in the headlights, especially first year. And it's important that we create those safe spaces for everybody, but to start with an understanding of how you would possibly gain a little bit more understanding about the Indigenous students in your classroom. I do a lot around cultural safety. I work at Canadore. I wear many hats. One is we did a two-year research called Biggie Weyun. So we offer that throughout the college for college faculty, and also like the health unit and any organizations that request the training. I can talk more about that after. But cultural safety is really hard to define. It's really up to individuals who deem, you know, what is a safe environment for me? It's providing a safe place for your Indigenous clients, your students, coworkers, It's learning about another culture, which helps you be more effective in building relationships. So likely you're going to have Indigenous students in your classroom. You're going to work with Indigenous people or clients. That's what I tell my students as they're getting ready to go into their careers. And it's only the more understanding, I guess, you have of each other is going to build more effective relationships. So Indigenous culture is the expression, the life ways, and the spiritual, psychological, material practice of Indigenous worldview. Culture shapes our individual experience, perceptions, decisions, and how we interact with each other. And Keode was talking in my bio about everything I do in my practice is really infused with the culture. I do a lot of work. I do teachings of the medicine wheel, and that medicine wheel goes into all my research, all my program planning. I consider it in the classroom. I'm also a professor at the college. So I'm always looking at ways to infuse that holistic approach using that medicine wheel. We could have did just a whole session on the medicine wheel. A lot of times people don't really realize, and I'm trying not to generalize, but there are people that still don't realize that we are a very diverse group of people. And I'm only speaking to Canada. And there is a map there that captures where different tribes live all across the country. And that's still the case. But these were the Indigenous groups of Canada pre-contact before Europeans came to what we refer to as Turtle Island. We all, as tribes, have our own creation stories. Each tribe has their own creation story of how we came to be, how we came to live here on Turtle Island. There's 600 First Nations in Canada today. We have Indigenous people that live in cities, you know, that transition back and forth to our reserves. We've had 50 languages and a very diverse culture. So there's different ceremonies within culture, tools, clothing, arts, governance, health, and social structure. And women and men have specific roles within our communities. You know, historically we lived as hunters and gatherers, and we lived a very nomadic lifestyle. Okay, so when you're in the classroom, I know we wear a lot of hats, social, as professors, teachers, we have to adhere to that social aspect of our students. Again, that medicine wheel, we have to consider the physical aspects, their social, emotional well-being, their spiritual well-being, and their mental well-being, their cognitive abilities. So if you're working with Indigenous people, it's likely they're going to be impacted by colonization. Colonization is not a thing of the past. It's very present. It's very much part of, unfortunately, our Indigenous individuals, families, communities, and nations. Again, you could do a whole lesson, a whole workshop on this, but you're going to have students that have been affected by high amounts of children in foster care, which was referred to as the 60 scoop. It has such adverse effects historically as well. Introduction to disease to Indigenous people, being displaced from our traditional lands, Coyote also mentioned I'm from Temagami First Nation. I live on a very small island. It's not a big reserve. That affects us when we're displaced from our traditional lands. Effects of residential schools, banning of languages. Our languages died. My father was fluent Ojibwe, and he never felt the need to teach us to speak our language. That could have been an effect from residential schools. But there was an aim to assimilate all Indigenous people and get them to forget about their culture, which, of course, is not the case. There's a lot of revitalization and good things happening in our communities today. We still fall under the Indian Act today. That's a federal government legislation specifically aimed at a group of Indigenous people based on their culture. And then, of course, we still see a lot of discrimination and racism. And that's why I feel my job is so important, because I do teach about this every semester and really get students to be really honest. And I can ask you this as a participant in this workshop, like, what are your perceptions around Indigenous people? What do you think? There's the stereotypes, but really, it's hard. I ask my students to gauge themselves on a cultural safety journey because I can't judge that for them. They are evaluate that for them. They have to really, you know, think about what are my values, what are my assumptions, what are, you know, what are my beliefs, what do I think about Indigenous people? Because you don't get to, and it's not a fault of anybody's. People might not learn about Indigenous cultures. It's not very taught. It's not taught in our Ontario curriculum. It should be taught right from K to grade 12 every year, but it's not. And I find a lot of times in my class, people haven't even heard of residential schools. So I think there's a lot to learn and share. Likely you might have Indigenous students in your classroom that are experiencing intergenerational trauma and grief. Sorry, this is in the way. I got to move this over here. Perfect. So they might be experienced trauma and grief from colonization. We still, as a nation, you're hearing about all the unmarked graves and what happened in residential schools. The last residential school closed in 1996. That's not a long time ago. There's a lot of information and resources out there if you want to learn more about what happened in these, well, they call them schools, but really they were torture chambers as far as I'm concerned. But that's generations that of people that have been affected by these schools, what has happened in the past. And even like today, we're hearing about all the unmarked graves, you know, children being dug up. I don't think that's what you would constitute education or a school. But it's very, it's traumatic. It's traumatic to us today. And we have an interconnection amongst Indigenous people. It's hard to explain, but we have that interconnection and thought of even generations of children to come that haven't even been born yet. And the seven generations that, you know, that came before us. Before contact again, we lived in a very peaceful way. We had our own customs, our own traditions, our own ways of governing, educating, ourselves, healthy living, very strong connection to the land. So when Europeans came and settled, they introduced unfamiliar technology, religious beliefs, customs, and imposed their ideals on Indigenous people. So it's important history and colonization, how it affects our generation today. Again, I talked about my reserve. A reserve is just, it's not even our land. Like traditionally, we didn't see anybody to own the land, but we're put on very small, unresourceful plots of land. So that affects our economy and how to self-sustain ourselves. And then again, we fall again under that Indian Act. Manifestations in our community today include alcohol, substance abuse, physical illness, lateral violence as a result of oppressive measures on Indigenous people. I look at things very much with the glass half full. I see so much good things happening in our communities today. I'm very proud of our community striving for healing and wellness, revitalization of our language and traditional customs, especially with our younger generation. So not all Indigenous people are the same with the same beliefs. Again, you know, you can't sort of single out the Indigenous, if you're talking about Indigenous history or any topics, you can't single out that Indigenous person in the classroom because that person may not be following their culture. They may be on a cultural continuum. Again, we all have our own stories or ways of conducting ceremony. So Indigenous ways of knowing and beginning your cultural safety journey, you will learn how Indigenous people have their own ways of knowing, which is shaped through values, beliefs, understanding, and traditional teaching. Indigenous spirituality includes a strong connection to the land. I have no problem taking my class outside and having a class outside, you know, soaking in all the land around us. Canada is lucky. We have a pretty nice campus. Ooh, I have houseflies flying around in my room today. Ah, they're driving me crazy. So I like to share how, I guess, the difference between mainstream and Indigenous knowledge. It's how the knowledge is founded. The spirituality of Indigenous people is not scientifically proven. I can't prove to you that I have spirit helpers or that there's spirits amongst me. Or how we connect to elders that have passed on and sit in the Western doorway of the medicine wheel. I can't scientifically prove that to you, but that's my beliefs. I believe in that. And I'm not asking anyone to believe what I believe in. It's just that's the contrast, sort of in mainstream, I guess, schooling or I don't like the word institution, but that tends to be the contrast. I do research, I do program planning within my classrooms. I bring my medicines to class. My students don't have to smudge, but I give them that opportunity. So these are our truths. And I've been up against the grain so many times in the workplace to conducting research. There's an Indigenous way to conduct research and ways of doing. And we really rely on our elders. We rely on our knowledge keepers, our spiritual people.
to pass on culture and traditions. These are our truths. And we often have a hard time having to sort of, I guess, teach other people as to why. Why would we do this? Why, you know, in working with mental, someone's mental health, why is the drum so important? What's the significance of hearing that heartbeat and going back to a time when you were in your mother's womb? It's social. It is breathing. You need to breathe. You need to dance. There's food there. So, you know, throughout my career, I've really had to challenge others and persevere, you know. And I always think about trying to fit a circle into a square. But I know many colleges are doing a lot of work to support Indigenous frameworks and program planning and model. And there's a lot of interest there. So that's good. That's cultural safety. When investigating ways of knowing, we are looking at how people try to understand themselves, the society in which they live, their relations with other people, objects, and ideas. For Indigenous people, ways of knowing, our philosophy of life, has been with them from the time of creation in relationship to rhythms, patterns, events. And again, it's not often valued. There might be some skepticism. In the past, the term Indigenous knowledge was considered to be interchangeable with terms such as primitive, wild, and natural. And you know, you look at colonization, you look at like the relationship between Indigenous people and the federal government. We don't get to sit at the table. you know, how valued are we? Do we get to sit at the little table at the back? And hence, you know, I'm sure you've heard of Idle No More. That was sort of a national advocacy to say, no, we need to be at the big table. We need our voice. We need to be heard. We need to be part of big decisions that affect every Canadian. We're not just protesting for Indigenous people. We're protesting for all of Canadians. Indigenous knowledge is generally embedded in the cumulative experiences and teachings of people. This form of knowledge is based on people's skills and is adaptive to problem-solving strategies over time. Indigenous knowledge is linked to the land where proper ceremonies, stories, and medicines are held. Knowledge is not grounded on religion or scientific principles, but is rather derived from creation and as such is sacred. So I'm saying how there is a lot of diversity amongst Indigenous people, but there's also some commonalities as well. These are just a few, but we all believe that we have a spirit within us. I just nourish my spirit with that smudge. I mean, fundamentally, we all just want to be happy people, right? So we're taught to nourish that spirit within us. We're connected to spirits around us. In ceremonies, we connect to these spirits. We're said to have spirit helpers that guide us in our daily lives. So we're very... very connected to kind of visioning how is our life going to play out, offering of tobacco to ask the creator, the great spirit, Kijem Nado, questions. You're not going to get a booming answer from the sky, but if you follow your intuition and you feed your spirit, those answers will come. This morning I offered my tobacco I put my tobacco in my left hand, closest to the heart, and I put my tobacco down. And I didn't really ask for anything today. I just asked, I was thankful and grateful for the day. And I was thankful for like all the good things that are happening in happening in my life right now. I acknowledged that. I sat, I really thought about it. That's connecting to spirit. Also, I'm not saying every day is a great day for me. Like, I have my bad days too. But there's so many things we do to nourish that spirit. The circle. Everything we consider is circular and cyclical in nature. Hey, you're having a bad day today? Guess what? The sun is going to come out for its job to keep us alive. And better days ahead, right? So we consider all of those, like the moon, the cycles of the moon. We have ceremonies for, women have ceremonies for the moon. It's a time of when the moon comes out, full moon, we pay homage to the moon and we cleanse ourselves with our moon times. You know, we get that energy from the moon and maybe move on and forget sort of you know, what bad has happened to us in the past. So we use the medicine wheel to guide us in harmony and balance. I got a wheel right beside me. I have a vision board. I'm not going to show you though. But I have my medicine wheel there right beside me. And it reminds me, I have to take care of myself physically, social, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. And it feeds our inner fire and spirit and makes us more holistically healthy. So that's what you need to consider for your workplace, within the workplace, within the classroom, what's happening with students. I mean, I teach big classes. I have 45 students in each of my class. But I will always stay after class if somebody wants to talk to me. I try to, you know, maybe incorporate food. Again, I have the medicines. I bring my drum to class sometimes. So it's not just all mental, or it shouldn't be anyways. I mean, that's the focus there, right? That's the focus to teach our, you know, students, whatever learning outcomes are ahead of us, but really to consider that holistic notion within that circle. I kind of talked to this earlier, but all my relations related to everything on the physical plane, we pay homage to all that is in creation. We're connected to grandfather, sun, grandmother, moon, our water, trees, lands, animals, and to each other. We as human beings are not more important than the animals. There's no hierarchy there. They're all living objects, and we have to pay respect to that. And people do that in their own ways. We do have people who are, I work with a man named Perry McLeod Shopshagijik. He's teaching me so much. He's very much knowledgeable about plant life. And he talks about how all the plants have cousins and how they're all interrelated. They say if you're feeling really negative or you're not feeling well, to go, you know, make that connection with the land and the energy and sit under a tree. Or if somebody's not treating you well, really connect your feet into that land and wish that person well. So values, kindness, caring, and respect guide our ways in interacting with each other in our creation stories, within our creation stories. So we are losing our languages at a rapid rate. You might have language speakers in your classroom where English is a second language to them. I know when I'm working with Cree students from the North, you know, if they're more comfortable presenting their information in Cree, I tell them do that. You know, I might not be able to really fully understand what you're saying, but if that is a comfort level for you to speak your Anishinaabe Mohan language, please do. We get so caught up in kind of rules and policy within the classroom, but we have to, again, we're talking about inclusion, right? What better way to make somebody feel included by allowing them to speak their first language? We have diversity in the arts, storytelling, legends. There's always a moral to the story. Dancers, singers, drummers, craft makers, painters, artists. We all have those stories to tell in so many different ways. Maybe it's because I used to be a kindergarten teacher for 5 years, but I always try to bring in, you know, like the arts within what I'm teaching. You can learn a lot, right? And it's also teaching to those multiple classes, right? Or students' different learning styles. So it's, you're kind of putting all that information out there in creative ways. So you can ask yourself, do you consider the learning holistic? How can you take some learning outcomes and infuse them into your different programs? How could you infuse it into nursing? How can you infuse it into social service worker, environmental studies? We're actually embarking on this huge task at Canadore to ask all the programs to have some content in learning about, you know, a little bit about colonization, a little bit about Indigenous worldview, engaging a little bit in cultural safety. I'm trying to remember all. We have about 5 ILOs right now, but we're doing that, and the college is very very supportive of that. So it's going to be probably a 5 to 7 year project. We're just starting, but wow, wouldn't that be amazing? You know, for inclusion. So again, this is a medicine wheel. Within these directions, there's the East. What's representative there is your physical self, your physical self, and visioning is represented there. These are just my teachings. In the South direction, there's social emotional and taking time to build relationships. In the West is the spirituality and reflection. Reflective practice is so important in education. In the North is our mental well-being, and in that North direction is action. And you can always keep going around the wheel, the medicine wheel also is representative of many other different things. I mean, four is a big number for Anishinaabe people, but you can, the elements are represented there, stages of life. Animals. There's so much, so much in there that can help guide you. And then, of course, in the middle is our spirit and our fire. So, as I said, we different nations have different, different teachings. This is teachings of the Ojibwe people. And again, we're asked to carry these gifts with us all the time, every day. Is it easy? No, maybe it's not easy. But we're asked to walk with these gifts we were given. Everybody has a gift. These were one of our gifts. So the seven grandfather were powerful spirits who held the responsibility of watching over the people. They noticed how difficult life on earth was for the people and sent their helper down amongst the people to find a person whom they could teach to live in harmony with the earth. The helper found a newborn. However, the seven grandfathers believed him to be too young at the time. Shkabewis, the helper, was instructed to take the boy to see the four quarters of the universe in order to give him more time to grow. When he returned, the boy was 7 years old. The grandfathers then began to teach the young boy, and they each presented him with a gift. These gifts were wisdom, love, respect, bravery, honesty, humility, and truth. The boy, now a full-grown man, returned to the people and taught them the gifts of the seven grandfathers. With the gifts and understanding the people now had, they began to adjust to daily challenges. The people had learned to live in harmony with the earth. So again, how can we bring these gifts within the classroom? It's not, these are not words, these are feelings. So how do you bring those feelings to others? Like, how do you get them to feel these gifts? And the interesting is, these can be put on that medicine wheel, and then they could be different for different cultures as well. It's simple, but it's complex at the same time. So just to talk a little bit about the seven grandfathers, I keep checking my time. So I'm not going to read all of these, but there's humility, bravery. We all have narratives around like humility. What does it mean to be humble? I know for me, I don't see myself as the head of the classroom. I sit my students in circles quite often. I'm not the one that knows everything. If I don't know something, I'll be honest. I'll say I'll find out. But I really view teaching as facilitating and everybody learning from each other. So there's bravery. You can bring so many of these gifts into problem solving, conflict management, all of those leadership skills. Wisdom, truth, respect, and love. You can, it's so funny to be able to teach in this day and age, but you can Google the seven grandfathers and there's some nice YouTube videos and you know, readings about these things, these teachings. So, So just to sort of finish up here, you can think about your, can you see me? Are you able to see me?
Yeah, we can see you.
Okay, because it's not on my screen. I've touched something. Okay. So you might want to consider as well your students who may be coming from very northern communities where life is so different. I call it the res. I'm live on a res right now. And I travel each week to go to work in North Bay in the city. And even I kind of like get culture shock sometimes. The traffic and the noise and the sort of busyness of everything. But you might want to consider your students next week, the feeling of disorientation experienced by someone who is suddenly subjected to an unfamiliar culture, way of life, or set of attitudes. Again, they're moving often away from maybe family and everything that they've ever known. The senses, the noise. Once in a while, I'll go and stay with my mom. She has a place in North Bay, and I can't sleep there. The noise, the traffic, I can hear it. People trying to navigate the city. You know, if you ask the little kids here, they might not even know what a traffic light is. We don't have traffic lights here. Also finding supports, or helping students find supports. Usually, like Canada has the First People Center, kind of the home away from home for Indigenous people. That's their place where they can, you know, kind of identify with others. And there they can find support groups there. And those are just some examples there. So, again, you might gauge where you are in terms of cultural safety and continuums. Just being at this workshop today could be a start for somebody, but it's moving along. Perhaps you'll start out where you're just becoming a little bit culturally aware. You acknowledge, like, where am I at? What are my biases? You know. You begin to acknowledge the difference between cultures. There's a great series called First Contact on APTN, Aboriginal People's Television Network. And it's about these six Canadians that, you know, originally they say things like, Indians are drunks and they don't keep their houses clean, and they say some pretty terrible things. And then they go through a cultural safety journey and they visit all these different reserves and experience different things, such as seal hunt, looking for murdered and missing Indigenous women on the Red River. They do all these things. There's one episode where they go to a powwow, and on the way in they don't see anybody in the community, and one guy is saying, oh, they're probably all sleeping. And then they get to a powwow and they're scared to get out of the van, and finally they, you know, somebody comes to meet them, and you know they realize like how wonderful this powwow is. And you know, even today people might say, are we allowed to go to the powwow? Of course, it's inclusion. Everybody's welcome. So you might you might move along, become a little bit more sensitive to the different ways of seeing the world. There's the term cultural competency, but you'll never be competent in another culture. You might start to think about how your organization can be more competent in working with Indigenous people. Ask guest speakers, form relationships with the Indigenous community, et cetera, et cetera. Then you might move to being humility, having a lifelong commitment to evaluating yourself and addressing power imbalances, and begin to develop and maintain respectful relationships with coworkers, clients, built on mutual trust. I'm kind of running out of time, and I talked about some of my challenges, and I've been around for a long time, and I'm still really trying to infuse that my worldview on different projects that I've been working on. I worked on for 2 years on this project. It was originally called Mental Health Supports for Indigenous Students, which we changed the name. It was changed to Debaden, which means to speak from your heart. So when I walked into this area in the university, it was, I thought it was, because usually anything Indigenous goes through their Indigenous center, but they were trying to figure out how to better support Indigenous students in their mental health. And it was so challenging to say, we don't just consider mental health, we consider the holistic health. When I walked into the department, there was nothing Indigenous in there, absolutely nothing. Pretty challenging. But I did work with an Indigenous advisory circle, but I kind of had to fight for like every little thing, like, we need to change the posters. We need to, have socials. We infused PD for the counselors. Oh, geez. We formed partnerships with the Indigenous initiatives. They got teachings. They got medicine baskets. They got art in their class, in their offices. Huge pieces of art were left within that department. So originally when I went in, I was the only Indigenous thing in there. And I put up my medicine wheel, and I put up art and soap, my medicine bundle. And my boss, bless her heart, we clashed so many times just on worldview. And it was challenging. She's a wonderful person. It's just, we really had to learn and go through this process. In the end, after 2 years, there was a lot of learning. And now Nipissing has a Debaden counselor and an actually Indigenous culture for their students. What's important? Elders, use of medicines, professional development, building relationship, Indigenous scholars, bundles, art, drum circles, approaches to counseling and sharing circles, teach-ins. And I didn't get to talk too much more about Biggie Wayan, but that was also a 2-year research where we came up with the Indigenous cultural safety model. So if you walk away today, individually, if you want to create a cultural safe space, you might learn more about Indigenous people. Know that seeing your culture reflected in somewhere brings a sense of belonging. Could be as simple as a piece of art, medicines, spaces where elders can meet, outdoor space, plants, comfortable colors. What can you do within the organization? You may stress the necessity for change, form alliances, create and communicate a vision, understand the barriers and try to remove them, create a cultural safety plan within the organization to reinforce new policy around cultural safety. So I think I'm on time here.
You are on time, Cindy.
No Indian time here.
Thank you so much for all you shared with us some very, very important ideas and culture that we can take with us to our classroom.
Wonderful.
So we are right on time, but I want to give 1 or 2 minutes for anyone with questions. Anyone has any question to ask Cindy? Just 1 minute and then we're done because we have to move on to the next room for the closing. Okay, it's going. Let me see, there's some. Okay, well, they're just thanking you for the wonderful knowledge you shared. Yeah, that's what I'm reading from the chat. Okay.
Yes, and I can, you can find me at Canadore College if anybody ever has any questions. I can field emails or a call or something. And I just want to wish everybody all the best next week when we get back to work in person. And I wish you all the best and good health and safety.
Thank you so much. See you again sometime. We'll be in touch. We have your contact. We'll be in touch with you. Thank you
awesome.
So much, Cindy.
Chimigwech Guam and Bamapi. Migwech, everyone.
Migwech. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. For the rest of the group to just join Aaron, we just joined the either of the orange meeting links. We'll join Aaron for closing remarks and the door prize draw. So thank you. We'll see everybody in just a moment.